Oh, Heavenly Father, Father, thank you so much for your word, the Bible, that answers all our questions. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. Please be with me today that I bring nothing but honor and glory to you. Let it be your words and not mine. And let us all just have a wonderful Sabbath day, loving you, Father. We thank you because we know you're coming again soon, and we pray for that day in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a moment here. Can we talk a minute? Good. There's no other way to say it, but this old world is a mess.
Amen.
I didn't hear too many amens over here. Amen? Yeah, amen. Okay. We talk about bad news, bad weather. And again, we saw what happened in the last few weeks. Boy, tornadoes and flooding and people blown away in their cars. Did you see some of those pileups of those vehicles in some of those cities where the tornadoes were? It's amazing. It's amazing that there wasn't more damage. But the weather keeps changing. It's getting worse, isn't it? Increased crime. Sexual immorality. You know, on May 14th, Taiwan voted 66-0, 66-0 to allow same-sex marriage. Now, I expect that in America, but I did not expect it in Taiwan. And forgive me for getting off track here a little bit for my translator here, but I was reading on the computer yesterday, and Canada is passing... what do they call that, speech violations? In other words, we can't talk against certain things as Christians, and they're all designed against Christians. We cannot talk about homosexuality or terrorism in the Muslim group because it might offend the Muslims or the LGBT group. That's a socialist country, guys, and guess what? The Democrats are trying to make America. I'm not going to go to politics right now, but just think. What I'm trying to say is Satan's affecting this world drastically. Drastically. What's a Christian to do? What is a Christian to do? Well, the answer is right now what we're doing. Go to church. But we find people don't seem to have home churches anymore. They like to go around and around to other churches. They might even stay home. They might even stay home. In this day of mega huge churches, or shall we call them designer churches, you can shop around for a church that makes you comfortable. You can shop around for a church that entertains you. You might even find a church that'll serve your favorite beverage before the service. Sorry to say that even in our denomination, the Adventist Church, people are shopping for a church that fits them. Some are looking for a church that makes them feel good. We all know of someone who has left our ranks, maybe attending other churches, or even worse, staying home, not attending any church. Think, is this the time for us to have such thinking? Is this the time for us to be doing such things? We are living in the close of this world's, old world's history, and I truly believe that no other church out there has the true end time message except the Adventist Church. Can I hear an amen on that one?
Amen.
We must ask ourselves, why are people going to other churches? Why are people choosing to stay home? Why are they seeking churches that makes them feel good? We could talk for hours about the reasons, but this morning, let's explore just several of the most obvious type reasons. And let's look at ways that we can protect ourselves from becoming discouraged and thinking that way. Reason one, now for the sake of discussion, I'm going to use two terms frequently. And I'm sorry because I don't know about wimpy being in the Russian language, but I'm going to use that term. The one term is a wimpy Christian. A wimpy Christian. A Christian that wears their emotions on their sleeves. They compromise easily. They don't stand their ground. And then we have the other one, the warrior Christian. Now, the warrior Christian stands for Christ, and he stands for God's word. Let's go to reason one. Well, so-and-so said that, and it hurt me real deeply. Has that happened to any one of you? Will it happen again? It could. I want you to notice a story that I found on the internet. It kind of explains what I'm talking about here. This is a story of Bob and Bill. Now, Bob and Bill were childhood friends. They went to school together. They went to high school. They did some college classes together. They were best friends. But here comes Joe. Not our Joe. But here comes Joe, and he comes over to Bill, and he says, "Do you know what Bob said? He said this and that about you." Bill thought about it, and instead of going to Bob, he let gossip and lack of facts control his feelings. Now let's get back to our sermon. What should we do when someone's tongue gets the best of us? Well, the wimpy Christian might say, "Well, I just can't face him anymore. I'm just going to go somewhere else, or I'm going to stay home and watch 3ABN. I'll watch 3ABN. Let's go back to our story. 20 years have passed. Brothers and sisters, 20 years have passed. And because they live in a small town, Bill hears that Bob's dying of cancer. Well, Bill puts his pride behind him and goes to see Bob before he dies. The question is asked, "Bill, why did you break up our friendship?" "Because Joel told me what you said about me. And he said this and he said that." And guess what? Bob just shook his head and he said, "Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what Joe told me you said about me." Because Bill was wimpy, he lost 20 years of friendship with his best friend. 20 years. How sad, because right at his fingertip is where God's word to help him in such a situation. What does a warrior for Christ do? Well, they go to God's word for help. And let's be warriors of Christ this morning, and let's look up Matthew 18, verse 15 together. I'd like you to keep your Bibles open at Matthew. We have several scriptures there this morning. Matthew 18, 15. How many have got that? You ready? "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Wow, that's good information, isn't it? That's very good information. But you know, sometimes the situation gets a little worse. And sometimes that won't answer all the questions. But the Bible to the answer again. Let's read verses 16 and 17 of Matthew 18. "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now, is it important that we follow such counsel? Absolutely. I want you to turn back in your Bible to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we're going to read verses 22 through 24. That's Matthew 5, 22 through 24. And it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Now notice this. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that my brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Now, when we read that scripture, if we're to look at the commentaries, it tells us turns our attention to Matthew 6:15. Right across the page there, Matthew 6:15. Very important. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Wow. Wow. The Bible tells us that Christ insists that men must, now did you get that? Men must make things right with their fellow man before they can be reconciled by God. Wow, that's powerful. But there's more. There's more. We should never, ever make something out of nothing. We should never, ever make something out of nothing. If we hear something that upsets us, get it clarified. Otherwise, the old saying, that molehill might turn into a mountain. Notice one of my favorite author's words. She says, "We must learn to place the best possible construction upon doubtful conduct of others. If we are ever expecting evil, we are in danger of creating what we allow ourselves to suspect. We cannot pass along without sometimes having our feelings hurt, but our tempers tried. But as Christians, notice this, we must be patient, we must be forbearing, we must be humble and meek as we desire others to be." That's wonderful advice. That's wonderful advice. Now, there's another reason. To recap reason one, we discussed hurt feelings. And brothers and sisters, I guarantee there are people out there that aren't coming to this church because their feelings are hurt. And it happens. It happens. But in reason two, we're going to discuss something. We're going to discuss thoughts that we might not agree with. Thoughts we might not agree with. Now, I'm going to pick on our church leaders, including Pastor Jerry this morning. And this is a great day to do it because Pastor Jerry's not here to defend himself. If I hear something negative from the podium just one more time about that Christian rock that I like, I'm going to explode. It's my business what I wear or what I eat. It won't keep me out of heaven anyway. Sound familiar? If that pastor talks about my TV watching again, it makes me so mad I could just blow up. How about that one? Yes, we hear from the podium warnings about dress. We hear warnings about music. We hear warnings about our entertainment. But let's analyze why those comments might make us upset. Could it be that when we hear such statements to the church, now let me say that again. Could it be that when we hear such statements to the church, that we take it personal as though that person up here is talking to us? I must admit that when I hear them talk about my television watching, I get that uneasy feeling. I get that uneasy feeling. But you know, I know that it is good because the pastor or the one saying it up here is concerned about every one of us. They're concerned about our spirituality. It's a simple fact. If we get anxious or upset about something said from the podium concerning lifestyle, then we probably have a problem. Well, what does the wimpy Christian do? Instead of dealing with it, he allows it to bother him. And instead of dealing with it, he allows it to cause problems. But what would the warrior of Christ do? If you hear something you don't agree with, don't get upset. Challenge it. Go to that person and ask why they made that statement. Get it clarified. Now, brothers and sisters, please take this in the right context. Especially in these times, we need to hear the truth from the podium. And hopefully what we hear from the podium helps us to self-evaluate what's going on in our lives. Do we agree with that? I hope so. There are churches out there that teach feel-good sermons. There are churches out there that teach prosperity sermons. They're on every corner of our community. But if we are to get back to that primitive form of godliness that Sister White recommended, then we do not need diluted, hold-your-punches sermons. In fact, brothers and sisters, we should be telling our leaders and our pastor, let us have it from the podium. Let us have it. Now, I want to talk to all of us, but especially, we got a whole group of young people back there I want to talk to. I heard a sermon a ways back by David Asherick. It was called, Save Me, Lord, But Don't Hurt My Pigs. What a title. Save me, Lord, but don't hurt my pigs. I want to quote a few things he said. Now, to set the premise, one of the greatest marketing tools we see out there today is to take the word Christian and apply it to everyday services or terms. Now, let me give you an example. Christian lawn care. Christian dating service. Christian bowling. I'm going to tell you a story that I hope makes us understand this a little better. It's the story of the Christian bear. Now, there was a backslid Christian, and he was up in the Pacific Northwest. He was watching the salmon spawn. And if you haven't seen that before, it's a fantastic thing. But he was walking around on a ledge. He slipped and he sprung his ankle, and unable to go any farther, he found a tree to lean against, and he got his trusty phone out and called for help, and they said they'd be there in a little while. Now, once again, this is a backslid Christian. He doesn't go to church much, doesn't pray much. But as he was watching the salmon spawn, he noticed this old bear coming up the hill. And the old bear went over to the river, and he was trying with his might to catch some salmon, but guess what? He was old. He had a hard time. And boy, was he getting hungry. And he noticed something in the air. So he put his nose up and he sniffed some more. He got the whiff of that backslid Christian. And as he turned, he saw him over leaning against the tree. Well, the backslid Christian started to panic. And he goes, Lord, I know I've been bad. Lord, I haven't talked to you much. I don't pray much. But right now, I'm asking for a miracle. That old bear that's coming running toward me right now, please make him a Christian bear. The bear ran up to him, mouth watering, and suddenly he stopped. And he stood up. He put his paws together, he bowed his head, and he said, Lord, Thank you for this food I'm about to eat. Did that word Christian bear make a difference in that bear's character? No. No, it didn't. He was still a wild bear. Satan uses this to his advantage. He loves it. Let's see how Satan takes it a little farther. Christian rock. Christian rap. Wow. Wow. Young people, the use of Christian as an adjective doesn't always make things right or make them okay. Now, I'm not condemning your music. I hope you are grown up enough to make the right decision to listen to the right type music, you know. But even our local station, Wind, sometimes there's things on there that I can't call them Christian that they play. Businessmen, however, know that they can take a song that's been a hit, and if they add Jesus or praise God in it a few times, they can have a whole new genre. And they can sell that to more people. It's pretty amazing. A whole new market just because they add Christian to it. How about this, guys? Hey, I've got some Christian weed out in my car, and I'd like you to come out. It's primo. You can smoke it with me after church. Now, is that absurd? Absolutely, it's absurd. And that's the point, brothers and sisters. People still say, oh, it's okay, it's Christian. It is not okay just because it says it's Christian. I've heard my kids there. Oh, Dad, don't worry about it. It's a Christian movie. How do you know? Because they said so? It puts responsibility on us, folks. And David Asherick had it right. Christian does not always make things right. So please, please, think what you're doing. This is for us to all think about. If we get upset over something, make sure we know what spirit is motivating us to get mad. If you hear something up here, don't get mad. Find out about it. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Very familiar scripture, but it's a very timely one. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wow. Now, brothers and sisters, there's other reasons that we could discuss about this morning of why people aren't attending church, but we need to end by discussing how we can protect ourselves from becoming discouraged and how we can help those others. It's very simple. Let's open our Bibles, and I'd like you to leave it on Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Okay? That's Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit here. Ephesians 6. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. Do we agree with that? I hope we do. We cannot afford to be wimpy Christians anymore. We must become warriors for Christ. And how do we do that? Number one, we have to train. We must go to spiritual boot camp. That makes Pastor Jerry our spiritual drill sergeant. So when he says things, we need to listen. How many veterans do we have out there? Okay, I'm sure you will agree that boot camp was not a wimpy thing. So be prepared, because it's not a wimpy thing. Number two, we must put on our protection, our suit of armor. Now let's open Ephesians. We're going to read Ephesians 6. And we're going to start with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's the devil again. We talked about him roaring, walking around like a roaring lion. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Lastly, we need to increase our study and rely on the Word of God and not on our emotions or our personal feelings. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hold up your Bibles or your iPads or whatever you're using there. This is our sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's fire-breathed. It's the perfect weapon for the warrior for Christ. Let's not forget that. It's the perfect weapon. And in closing, let's turn to 2 Timothy, our last scripture, 3:16. This is why this book is so powerful, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And let's read 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us strengthen our resolve. Now listen, let us reconcile with each other in love. Amen. Together, let us prepare for battle, and let us all become unified warriors for Christ. Amen. Let me ask this. So what are you going to do the next time someone says something bad about you? It's time for our final song. And this is appropriate. Onward, Christian soldiers, 6:12.